Good morning, everyone. I know some people are still making their way across the courtyard, but we will begin anyway. So let's, if you'd like to stand as we worship, let's sing this together. Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, Thy presence, my light. Be Thou my wisdom, may Thou my true word. I ever with Thee, and Thou with me, Lord. My great Father, I Thy true Son, Thou in me dwelling, and I with Thee one. Be Thou my shield and my sword for the fight. Thou my dignity, be Thou my might. Thou my sole shelter, Thou my high tower. Raise Thou me heavenward, O power of my power. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and Thou only, first in my heart. My King of Heaven, my treasure Thou art. My King of Heaven, when victory is won, may I reach Heaven's joys, O bright Heaven's Son. Lord of my own heart,
greatest friend. But wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. I will come when trumpets sound. Oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
In the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. defender, suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light. Forever seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. And I believe in you. I believe you rose again. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in you. I believe you rose again. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Father, thank you for our time this morning to gather in your name. We just continue to worship you through the spoken word now. Receive our praise, for you are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. I normally don't like to do it this way. Sing and then speak. God has blessed me with gifts and talents, but don't like to use them all at the same time. Otherwise, I would have cooked you breakfast too. But they don't have a stove here. So. All right. Hey, this morning I wanted to share with you from a story in Luke chapter 5. Because our theme this year is leading people to Christ and loving one another in Christ. And starting in verse 17, the story is about Jesus is in this town and he has been doing a lot of healing.
Yes,
And when something miraculous happens and kind of a local celebrity comes in, a lot of people come in to look and see what's happening.
被做成的时候,
so Jesus had attracted a great crowd already, just with the few healings that he had already done.
所以他那边,
and it created a stir among the Pharisees and the religious leaders.
所以那些文士,他们的, 教士们,
because they really weren't sure where Jesus was coming from. Who Jesus was. And as leaders in the church, it was their responsibility to protect the church. Not let any false teaching come in. And certainly draw people away from the worship and knowledge of God. And so as Jesus is in this house, people have gathered in and they are wanting to be healed. And so our text comes from verses 18 to 19. It's in your handbook on page 14. And so let's go ahead and read these two passages here, but we'll be looking at the broader context as well. So we'll read the English verse here. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus.
就上了屋里,从瓦间把他引入,进到当中,正在耶稣面前。
So there's a few things I want to share with you in regards to leading people to Christ and loving one another in Christ. See, the first thing that we see in our text in verse 17, it says that the Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. And then later on, it says the power of the Lord was with him, speaking of Jesus, to heal. Luke was quick to point out that there were some that did not recognize Jesus' power to heal. But the vast majority saw that there was something happening. And so the first thing I want us to understand is that we need to recognize that Jesus has the power to heal. And that power comes from God the Father. See, when we're talking about leading people to Christ, our friends, our family, people that we work with, we need to recognize that Jesus is someone who can bring some healing into their lives. There's a lot of people in our world today that don't recognize the power that Jesus has. But we as followers of Christ, who are actively involved in our church, who have a relationship with Him, we know this to be true. We know that Jesus can heal. We know that Jesus can restore. We know that Jesus can fix broken things.
And he can
fix broken lives. So we recognize first and foremost that Jesus has the power from God to make a difference and to transform lives. The second thing there we see in verse 18, that there were these men that brought their friend, this paralyzed man, to Jesus.
Here,
Leading people to Christ means that we are thinking about people, or God is bringing to mind friends that we know, people in our sphere of influence who need to be healed. With this particular individual, he was paralyzed. His need for healing was obvious. And the thing is, when we think about some of our family members, some of our friends, some of our co-workers, for us, we also see that their need for Jesus is obvious. And so as we are thinking about leading people to Christ, my encouragement with this would be this, that we would be praying for God to show us who are some of those people that need to be healed. Who are the people that I know that need to be brought to Jesus' feet? And so they have identified that there's a need, that there's someone that has a need to be in the presence of Jesus. But if you've grown up in the church like I have, and you've seen this story, you understand that one person is not able to bring this paralyzed man to Jesus. They're carrying him on a mat or a bed of some sort. And I don't care how strong you are, there's no physical way to very easily carry one person a great distance into the presence of someone that could do some good. And so sometimes when it comes to leading our friends to Christ, bringing them into the presence of God, we think we are all alone. But that's one of the beauties of being a part of the body of Christ. See, we have brothers and sisters in our churches, in our families, who can at the very least join us in prayer. Or maybe even better, that we can introduce that friend who has a need for healing to some of these brothers and sisters that we know. Because one of the things that we read in a lot of studies is that people come to church, people come to Christ because of people that they know. Yes, it is the transforming power of God's Holy Spirit that changes their lives and draws them into a relationship with Him. But God also wants to and chooses to use us to be those vehicles and those agents of grace in the lives of people. And so as you're thinking about those that need healing, that need to be brought in the presence of Christ, I would encourage you to enlist others to be praying with you for those friends, those family members. But see, the other thing about this group of friends, it was more than just seeing that this person is paralyzed and he needs to be healed, they actually did something about it. They made a decision that now is the time, now is the opportunity to bring that friend into the presence of Jesus. See, sometimes we spend a lot of time in prayer for friends and family members who need to know Christ. But we don't bring them to a place where they will meet Christ, or we don't open our mouths and we don't share our faith and share the gospel with them. In the parent workshop yesterday, I encouraged the parents from the material that I was using that one of the goals for parents is to take their children and place them in the path of the divine. That means bringing them into a place where they will encounter Christ.
把小孩带到一个地方，让他们能够有机会
见神。Whether it's bringing them to church, or maybe having family devotions, or exposing them to other brothers and sisters, they will have the opportunity to encounter Christ.
或是把他们带到教会，或是在家里有灵修，或是让他认识其他的弟兄姐妹，让他们有机会能够认识神。
And so these group of friends decided to bring their friend who needed healing into the path of the divine, into the presence of Christ.
所以这一群朋友就愿意把这个摊子带到耶稣的面前。
But the problem is, when they arrived there, there were so many people that they couldn't get in through the door. There were so many others who also needed to be healed. And so it's hard to get angry with people because they're seeking the same thing that they were wanting for their friend.But that didn't stop them. The crowds, the busyness of the situation, they found another way. It was so important to bring their paralyzed friend who needed healing into the presence of Jesus that they weren't going to let anything stop them.
对他们来说，把他们这个朋友带到耶稣面前是这么的重要，他们不要让任何东西来阻挠他们。
So they found their way to the rooftop of the room.
所以他们就找一个方法啊，跑到了房顶去。
And they just started to dig.
就开始把这个挖开来。
And started to break through the roof.
把这个屋顶啊，打一个洞。
So you have to imagine Jesus is here in the center of the room, and there are other people crowding in around him.And then the roof starts to fall in on them. First a little bit of dirt, and then bigger chunks are falling. See, these friends cared so much about bringing their friend in need of healing into Jesus' presence. They didn't care how embarrassing it was. They didn't care how dangerous it was.It was so important to get him into the presence of Jesus. They broke through the roof. See, sometimes when it comes to bringing people to Christ, we make a lot of excuses. We let little things get in our way.We worry about what other people may think about us. We may worry about the inconvenience of it all. But if we really believe that Jesus can heal and fix broken things and broken lives, nothing should stop us. But here's what's interesting with these men.Once the hole was opened up and big enough for this mat to be lowered in there, they didn't just drop their friend from the roof. I mean, they would have had to use maybe some ropes or some other device to gently lower their friend into the presence of Christ.Or maybe they were able to enlist some other people to then receive this body that's being lowered. But I say this to remind us that they saw it all the way through until their friend was there in Jesus' presence. See, working with youth ministry for many, many years, one of the things that I've observed when it comes to bringing people to Jesus, is a lot of times parents just drop their kids off. They recognize that having an encounter with Jesus is good for their children, but not necessarily for them.So, in some ways, they drop them through the roof and just let it go. hoping that, that just simply being there would be enough. No explanation, no encouragement, no support. But as I was saying in the workshop yesterday, you know, for us as parents, one of the key things is that we take our own spiritual relationship with Christ seriously as well. That we're committed to seeing our children and seeing our friends come to know Christ, and we will walk with them the whole journey. So what does that look like when we bring friends to church? Maybe it means that you don't sit in the same place that you always sit. Because whether we admit it or not, we all sit in the same spot every week. Probably even in this room, you've chosen your spot to sit.
So
we're creatures of habit. We like to go where things are comfortable. And one of the lessons we learned from these men is that they didn't care about comfort. They were doing whatever it took to bring their friend to Christ. And so maybe that means sitting somewhere else in the sanctuary. Maybe it means getting up early and having to actually go pick them up to bring them to church. Or maybe it means, like within our church, you have an English-speaking friend and means sitting and having to listen to me speak every week for a few weeks. Because you have a friend who needs to know Jesus, but they don't understand Mandarin. Maybe it's a neighbor or a coworker. And maybe the sacrifice is just simply coming alongside with them and sitting next to them during our second service. Or maybe for some of you at FCCCF, maybe it means finding another church where they're going to be comfortable and going to church with them. Now, I know our friends from our home church are thinking that we've abandoned them because we haven't been around for 3 or 4 weeks. But if we really care that we want to see this person come into the presence of Christ and come to know Jesus as their own Lord and Savior, then we're going to do whatever it takes so that they have that encounter, they have that opportunity to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. These men were willing to make whatever sacrifice for the sake of their friend. The last thing I want to look at is towards the end of the story. In verse 26, it says, amazement seized them all, and they were glorifying God, and they were filled with awe, saying, we've seen extraordinary things today. You know, sometimes we're looking for God to act, and we're always expecting the miraculous to happen. Because what was unique about this story, these men brought a paralyzed friend to Jesus. But Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. The obvious need, the felt need, was for physical healing. But see, here's the thing. God sees the real need. And we may be bringing a person, a friend to Christ or a friend to church because we know that there's some brokenness in their lives, in their families. Maybe we see that they're going through some struggles at home or at work. And we're wanting them to find the answers that can be found in Christ that might help them with those aspects of life. But the truth of the matter is, the one need that we all possess at one point or another is to be forgiven. And so when Jesus says this, the religious leaders are beside themselves, not knowing what to think. See, it was one thing that this was a healer. This was one thing that this person was drawing a lot of attention. But now he's wanting to forgive. In verse 21, they even say, who could forgive sins but God alone? And that's what we understand, that yes, God alone is the one who can truly forgive us of our sins. Because all of us sin. All of us are sinners. And we've fallen short of the glory of God. And that is the ultimate healing we all need. And so Jesus says, to show you that I have the power to forgive sins, I'm going to have this guy stand up and walk. I'm going to meet the obvious need. I'm going to do the healing that you expect. But understand this, I do have the power to forgive sins. And so there's a celebration of the miraculous. But be careful what we ascribe to be miraculous. Because it wasn't the healing that was the miracle that took place. It's the fact that God forgives sins and makes us whole. Because the reality is, these physical bodies will continue to break down. But the healing of our spiritual bodies is what God does, and it is eternal and it is permanent. So as we're leading people to Christ, let us keep in mind that this is the healing, this is the restoration, this is the transformation that we are praying for and that we are wanting to see in our friends, our family, our coworkers. And then let us be amazed of the amazing miraculous thing that God does by changing and transforming a life and making it new in Him. Will we see answers to prayer in the lives of people? Sure. But let us always be amazed and celebrate the healing that comes with the forgiveness of sins. That we might have an eternal relationship with the God of the universe. That's truly loving one another in Christ. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you that we can gather at the close of our weekend together. Father, we have worshipped you through song and through your word. And I pray that as we leave this place, that we would be more mindful of how you might choose to use us to lead others into your presence. Lord, that we might be able to lead others to a place where they would come to know you as their Lord and Savior. And let us never be tired of rejoicing and celebrating of the changed and transformed lives that only you can bring. So, Father, as we leave this place, find us faithful. Find us diligent in this task. All for your glory and to build your kingdom. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.